well. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's a great story, and a great story needs to be shared. It's a story about Hamilton, the musical, not the Founding Father. Although the musical is about the Founding Father, but this is specifically about the musical. Hamilton was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he was going on vacation, and he picked up a book because he needed something to read while he was on vacation, and he picked up this giant book, and it was a biography of Alexander Hamilton. And as he read this story, he kept thinking, this is a great story. All of these things that happened to this man, this is a great story. This is a story that could be a musical. This is a story that could go on Broadway. This is a story that could be awesome. And so he started to write. He started to write this musical and the show, and it just started to flow out of him. It just seemed to run right out of his head onto the paper in front of him. The words and the melodies just seemed to appear and come together, finding a home on the pages in front of him. That is, until he got to a certain song. The song was Wait For It. And it was an important song. It was a pivotal moment in this musical that he had mapped out and that he was putting together. It was sung by the character of Aaron Burr. And Aaron Burr was an important character in the life of Alexander Hamilton, and as such, he is an important character in the musical Hamilton. And in this song, Wait For It, Burr has this change, this understanding of himself evolves and changes in the midst of this song. This song represents the transformation, and it's a change of his understanding, it's a change of his outlook, it's a change of the course of his life. So there's a little bit of importance here, and Miranda is feeling the weight of this, and he starts writing this song, Wait For It. And he'll write a few lines and cross them out. And he wrote a few more lines and crossed them out. And he wrote a few more lines and crossed them out. And he just kept hitting a wall again and again and again. This song just would not get written. And he kept working on it and kept working on it and kept working on it. Hold that thought. At this point in time, I need to talk about something called the Zagarnik, I think that's right, Zagarnik, the effect, the Z effect, we'll just say. The Z effect, thank you. Zagarnik effect. This is something that was described by a Russian psychologist named Bluma Zagarnik. There's not enough people named Bluma anymore, by the way. Bluma Zagarnik, in 1927, noticed that people remember unfinished or interrupted tasks better than completed ones. People remember unfinished or interrupted tasks better than completed tasks. Our subconscious latches onto uncompleted tasks and is constantly pulling them into our awareness. There are some practical applications for this. One, taking breaks while studying, stepping away for a while, can boost our retention of the material. And two, if you're fighting procrastination, just start. Just start. Just begin the work. And even for a couple of minutes, start the project. And then as you step away, doesn't matter where you step away to, your mind is going to keep going with that project, rolling it over and over in your head. And the unfinished tension of that project will keep calling you back to it. Miranda had been working on the song Wait For It, and it was going nowhere. He kept writing and crossing out, writing and crossing out, writing and crossing out, and now he was late for a friend's birthday party. So he set down his pen and paper, he grabbed his coat, he hopped on a train heading out into Brooklyn. And as he was going, the Zagarnik effect kicked in. As he was sitting on this train, words and melodies kept forming in his head. Whether he was aware of it or not, they kept working in his head. And then all of a sudden, they formed and they came out into his consciousness, and he had nothing to write them down with. So he pulled out his phone and he opened up voice memos and he recorded. May the peace of God, which passes... No. He recorded. Oh my gosh. He pulled out voice memos and he recorded, "Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes. We keep living anyway. We rise and we fall and we break and we make our mistakes." He recorded this into his phone, and he kept thinking of it over and over again. "Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes. We keep living anyway. We rise and we fall and we break and we make our mistakes." It just kept going over and over, repeating itself in his head. He got to his friend's party. He stayed for 15 minutes. He left. He got back on the train. He went home. He sat down at his piano, and the song just flowed. "Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes. We keep living anyway. We rise and we fall and we break and we make our mistakes." He wrote the whole song out in that one setting, in that one night. And this song he still believes is the best thing he's ever written. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the soundtrack to Moana. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the soundtrack to Encanto. We don't talk about Bruno. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the hit show In the Heights on Broadway. It won the Tony. But this song, he thinks, is the best song he ever wrote. Sometimes you just have to step away for the words to come. Sometimes you have to step away for the words to stick. Matthew 28 has the Zagarnik effect all over it. It begins after the Sabbath day on the first day of the week, 3 days after Jesus had died and was buried and placed in the tomb. Mary and Martha go to the tomb, and when they arrive, the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. An angel appeared to them and told them, "He's not here. He's been raised. He's going ahead of you. He'll meet you in Galilee. Go tell his disciples. He'll see you in Galilee." Sometimes you need to step away for the words to come. Sometimes you need to step away for the words to stick. This is not the end of the story. This is just a break. Go to Galilee. He will see you in Galilee. And we pick up on that this morning. The disciples go to a mountaintop in Galilee. And by the way, Jackie, who has been to the Holy Land, pointed out yesterday, there are no mountains in Galilee. They're playing pretty fast and loose with the word mountain. But still, they're on the top of some hill in Galilee, and they see Jesus. And they worship him. And they doubt. This is an ongoing story. It's not done. They don't see Jesus and rejoice and it's ending there. They see Jesus, but they also carry doubts. This is a changing. This is ongoing. This is a forming situation. And then comes the command, go and share the story. Go and share the promise of life. That as you rise and you fall and you break and you make your mistakes, I will be with you. Yes, I firmly believe that Jesus quoted Hamilton on the mountain in Galilee. as you rise and you fall and you break and you make your mistakes, I will be with you. The Zygarnik effect proposes that people remember unfinished or interrupted tasks better than completed ones. The disciples are standing on the mountaintop, and Jesus gives them this interrupted moment, this interrupted, unfinished task. Go and live your life and share the promises that I have shared with you. It's good to take a break. It's good to step away to a mountaintop or a park on a hill, to hear the story, to let the promise wash over you and let your subconscious engage in it. Step away for the words to come. Step away for the words to stick. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this point in time, I believe I am inviting the park choir to come up here.